Tribu d'amour is the story of my life, the story of my experience. My passion is to meet people, so I'm truly happy I can do it at the end of the street or at the end of the world, because any meeting is the best gift that life can give you. So let's go! During one of my balades in San Diego, I had the luck to cross the path of a beautiful woman who was selling with lots of smiles and joy herbal teas at a creator's market. I was attracted to her and her products as magnetized through the vibrant energy which was circulating around her and her products. I talked with her for a little while, bought a sacred sauce oil blend, and asked her if she would do a podcast with me. Her smile and her said yes. And there we are, sharing a little talk under the blue sky of Ocean Beach. A sky with a little noise due to the plane's circulation. I'm truly sure that you're gonna be adoring this passionate and ethic lady through discovering her amazing work and graceful personality. So let's jump in. Hello, Angelina. Your name is Angelina Kesselberg?
Yeah, Angelina Kesselberg.
Yeah. So thank you so much for being here and accepting to do a podcast with me.
Of course, Valerie. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it's an amazing meeting we had the other day. I had to cut a little part of our conversation due to the noise of the plane, so sorry about that. Yeah, so Angelina, you were trying to say something, then there was the plane who appeared. So you are an herbalist, right?
Yeah, I'm an herbalist. I work with herbs and herbal medicine in the forms of teas and tinctures, both to help people with their health and just to bring the herbs back into people's everyday lives.
That's so cool. And how did you cross the herbs?
Oh, yeah, that's a good story. So like a lot of other healers, I kind of was going through my own healing crisis. Uh-huh. And I've always been into natural healing and natural remedies. And when I was coming up against this, you know, this mountain, it felt like I really needed some help. And so I was, you know, trying to research, different healers, and I was looking up herbalists in the area. And on my search to find herbalists in the area, I found an herb school.
Oh.
And so, you know, those moments that just feel kind of like electric, you know, like you're like, this is what I need to do. So, I mean, we call it a calling. So I just like, I felt that calling so strongly, just even in that moment. And so in that moment, I found this herb school online. I didn't even hesitate. I just signed up for the first class and, I did end up getting the help that I needed. And then I loved it so much that I signed up for the whole course. And so the course is a clinical herbalism program that I completed with Self-Heal School of Herbal Studies, which is located where we are currently in San Diego, California. And it was an amazing experience. I had the opportunity to learn from a couple of herbalists who had been practicing for, you know, more than 30 years. And so it's a real honor. And then I actually just completed another first year program with a different herb school where I've been able to go out into the field. So
cool.
Yeah. Learning field botany and, wildcrafting. So that's harvesting, different herbs from the wild, and doing some additional medicine making with them too.
Yeah. Yourself then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is the feeling when you are actually in the fields with herbs?
It's incredible. I mean, so we live in Southern California and the landscape here is pretty deserty. And so it's really exposed. And so I think that I feel like first off and foremost, when you think about the feeling, it's really raw. Like you're just out there with raw nature. You're out there in the sunshine. Which can feel, you know, wonderful, but it also is really, it's hot, you know? But then when you're able to be out in the field, and I'm talking like out in the field, off trail, you know, really away from any roads or civilization at all.
Right. In the middle of that.
Totally. You're just 100% immersed in nature, which is incredible. And I've been able to experience a lot of incredible things because of that. Like got to see this huge hive of bees trying to find a new home. And so it was, you know, I don't know, trillions of bees flying over us in a cloud. And I've never experienced anything like that before. So all sorts of, you know, natural wildlife and just different experiences being immersed in nature coming through. And then you also get to, I think, hear the song of the plants a little bit more clearly, too.
That's very true. The nature speaks, huh?
Yeah, it does.
It has its own melody.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be, well, you just talked about the bees, but what would be another amazing experience or meeting you had through that period?
Oh, yeah. Well, we were talking kind of about how nature sings, and every time we harvest a plant, we really try to do so ethically, intentionally. And so we always go through an ethical wildcrafting checklist before we even harvest anything. So we want to know that we 100% can positively ID that plant, as well as a number of other things, making sure that there is no contaminants in the area, either chemical or otherwise, that we're away from the roads, like I had mentioned, so that those plants aren't polluted. We want to make sure that the stands are healthy, so that there is, you know, more than enough abundance for all the creatures, not just us, you know. We're thinking about the future of our Earth as well. And so just within that experience, it was amazing to just really connect with how we as individuals look at herbalism, ecology, look at sustainability, and how we as individuals are going to bring that forth in our practice and in our lives and share that with people. And so as far as that experience goes, I think that I got a lot of practice.
You know,
diving into that world of like using our natural resources, but doing so in a really thoughtful and sensitive manner. So that was another amazing experience, very different from the bees.
Also, you were talking about intentions, and I've been reading, and that's, for me, it's kind of, I wouldn't say obvious, but in a way, yes. They say that when you want to take something from nature, you want to make an intention, and with gratitude, and the way you're going to pick up the flowers or the herbs and everything. So do you have like some rituals you do before, or you don't want to share, or maybe you want to share?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, Valerie. We always try to give a little something back to the plant, whether that's, you know, a bit of water, love and a blessing. I feel like sometimes that's like the best gift that you can give a, you know, plant, is just like, you know, opening up your heart space and, you know, wrapping that plant in your love. Is maybe esoteric as that might sound, but
because as you know, the name of my podcast is Tribu d'Amour in French, which is love tribes.
Yes.
And so you are bringing one of the questions I like to ask, what is love for you?
Oh, yeah. What is love for me? Oh, that's interesting. You know, love for me isn't necessarily, I mean, I do have people in my life that I love, and I love what I do. I really love the plants. But for me, love is a personal feeling. You know, it is a connection to your heart. It's a connection to the oneness that is everything within creation, and being open to that. So really for me, I think that love really equates to being open and being in community and communion with everything that's around us.
Yeah. So we can talk about like a vibration or energy, maybe.
Yeah.
Love is an energy.
Yeah, definitely. 100% love is, I think it's the highest vibration.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that. Well, the fact that you are a healer means that you want to bring the love and the compassion and to others. And so how do you feel that is coming back to you?
I get that back all the time. I mean, you met me, Valerie, at a market. So I was, you know, I show up at these markets and I offer creations that I make, generally in hopes that I meet people. So
yeah, So you
I mean, part of it is, you know, monetary, you know, it's good to be able to, like, you know, fund my projects, but also, like, I mean, it's about the connections that I make, and if I wasn't there on that day,
we wouldn't be there. Yeah. No, I know, totally.
But those beautiful things happen all the time, those, like, and it's, you know, it's being in community and connection with people, and being willing to take an opportunity or a risk.
That's it. Yeah.
Saying yes, I think, is hard for people sometimes, and leaning into the uncomfortable, you know? So.
No, that's, that's very true and very interesting. So you are doing different kind of things, like you are selling herbs to make tea, but you are also having some product like the one I've been buying, which is the... How do you call that?
It's the sacred sauce.
Yeah.
Essential oil roll-on.
Yeah, that was great.
So, I'm glad you love it.
No, and I love the smell, and it makes me feel good.
Good, yeah. It's a really grounding essential oil blend. And yes, I do make other products too, some different teas and herbal salves. I also see clients one-to-one, and so I like to work with people to bring their health back into balance. You know, I don't know how it is in France, but in America, you know, herbalists are not doctors. We don't prescribe or treat any conditions or diseases. But I do like to help people learn about herbs. I consider myself an herbal educator. And so I work with people one-on-one in that way to inform them about different things that they can do to bring their bodies back into balance and alignment. And then I also teach workshops. And so I have a variety of different workshops that I teach around town to try to share that education too on, I guess, a more bite-sized level.
That's really cool. So what are the kind of person who come to see you just for that? Are they young people, older people? What kind of profile? Women, men?
Yeah, I have gotten both women and men, but generally it's women. The people that I attract are generally women who are looking to help with their hormonal health.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hormonal imbalance that's happening everywhere.
Yeah.
And as we age too, you know, going through the different life cycles of women isn't always the easiest. And I do find that we have a lot of toxins in our society that kind of interfere with
you
know, our hormonal balance. And with our healthcare system, you know, there's a lot of normalization of symptoms that aren't necessarily normal. And so just, you know, like listening to people and then recognizing those kinds of, you know, any imbalances that they might have and herbs that we can work with to maybe remedy those situations for them. So that's typically what I see people for, but I also see people for, you know, different mood issues. So like people that are experiencing, you know, a dullness, maybe some anxiety, a little bit of depression, you know, stuff like that, I think is really helpful for herbs with as helpful to use herbs to work with those types of, those issues. Yes. Thank you. And then I would say, I mean, those are the two, those are the biggies really.
Yeah. So what you were talking about doctors, what do you think about, the fact that to heal yourself, you need to be part of it. And so to mix the regular medicine and the holistic medicine with herbs or with prayers or with messages or whatever kind of other medicine, even if we cannot really say medicine in the medical term, it's a healing. And a healing is, I think, you have to be part of that. So you want to ask, you want to really learn, as you say. Mm. So when you teach people, you learn them how to be in a personal healing. Would you say that?
100%. I mean, everybody is their own healer. That's our bodies heal themselves. Our bodies are very intelligent vehicles, I believe, at least, that our souls are contained within, you know? And so I think that as far as healing goes, that there's space for everything, you know, I mean, doctors in Western medicine is really amazing at fixing broken bones and doing emergency surgeries and things, I mean, amazing stuff that, like, I don't know how to do.
Of course. Yeah, yeah, that's totally different.
But in the same boat, I think that they, that the way that we've been practicing medicine as a society has a lot of issues, especially when it comes to chronic health. And so, you know, there's this thing that we talk about in America, they call it the sick care system instead of the healthcare system. Because it's about, you know, the idea is that we're treating symptoms.
Yeah,
when
exactly.
You're treating symptoms, you're not getting to the root of a problem. And if you're not getting to the root of the problem, you're never actually fixing it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're suppressing symptoms. And then when you suppress symptoms and they get, you know, in my mind, they get deeper and deeper into the tissues. And then those problems manifest in other ways. And so it does, it's just not a really great method for treating chronic illness.
Because I've been really into rituals, you know, I think I told you that I crossed illness when I had to go to the hospital, got the surgery, got the medicine, got the chemotherapy. I knew that, as you said, it's just, if you just do that, it's not gonna, it may come back because you don't have resolve the thing. And so I've been going into all this kind of therapy, different therapy, and I realized also that the mind is so important, that every message you're gonna give to your body is gonna be taking care of your body. And so the rituals for tea, for example, or what you were saying, like as doing a meditation, just taking the seeds, taking the flowers, taking the herbs, everything is part of it. So when you sell the herbs, do you teach how to make the tea, the tisane? Do you explain that it's part of it, or do you let people just discover that by themselves?
For my clients, I actually usually do recommend some sort of a ritual as well, and that varies from person to person. And it's based on what their needs are. Sometimes I do include affirmations on my tea when I'm working with individuals one-to-one, because I find in my own personal life that affirmations are really powerful. I'm constantly with a dry erase marker writing on my mirrors at home.
Yeah, I do that. It's really cool. Yeah,
it's so helpful. And so it's like, you know, like I do something for a week and then I erase it and then we work on something else. And if I need it again, it'll come back to me. You know, we'll cycle through different messages or affirmations. But so I think that those are really powerful. And especially if you're doing something daily, like drinking a tea, like taking that moment for yourself, like brewing it or steeping it in an intentional way with beauty. I think beauty is really important too. Yeah. And just like feeling aesthetically connected to that, you know, that experience.
Yeah, that's very true.
Is really important. So it's a full package, and I personally like working with clients one-to-one because then I can craft something specific for them. But I mean, as whoever is listening right now, you know, you can just start doing something like this in your daily life. It can be very simple. And I think sometimes the most simple daily habits or, you know, rituals are sometimes the most profound. You know, it's those things that we do every single day that make the biggest difference.
I do think so, too. So you were talking to me about that tarot method you have to just bring what you discover through the cards for the people. So would you explain how does it works?
Yeah. So one of my things is I really do enjoy making custom blends for people. And I wanted to find a way to translate that to a market space. And doing a full in-depth consultation with somebody just doesn't really work in that arena. And so I'd been working with herbal tarot cards, which are a fun combination. And I have a lot of different decks, and I work with a few different ones on a regular basis. But the way that it works is I generally have the cards out, and I also have those specific herbs with me as well.
Okay. So how does it work?
Yeah, and then I take the cards and I cleanse the aura of the person that I'm working with, and I have them hold the cards. And so I really want the person who is being read to actually like
interact
and like kind of do the work themselves a little bit, and trust their intuition, because I feel like that's something that we don't do a lot you know, especially as women, and we're very intuitive beings, you know, our intuition is powerful. And if we don't practice trusting it, then
what's going to happen?
How are we going to develop those skills and that trust? And so I want people to trust their intuition. So generally what I do is I cleanse the aura and I cleanse the cards and I ask them just to come to the here and now. So I ask them to forget everything that happened during the day, to let that all go, to let glow of the people that they interacted with. I want them to let go of the car that they got here in. I want them to let go of everything. And sometimes they like, but I had a great day. I'm like, that's cool. I'm glad that you had a great day.
You want them here
and
now.
But we're here and now. We're not in the future. We're not in the past. We're here. We're right now. So that it brings them to this present moment. And that comes through in different, you know, different ways that I talk. But so try to cleanse their aura, bring them to here and now. I do a little bit of just deep breathing with them so that, you know, to like modulate their nervous system and bring them into their breath. And then generally I just have them breathe all the way from the bottoms of their feet to the top of their head. And then I have them breathe out that energy through their arms and into the cards so that they're really like energetically connecting with their cards. And their hands are powerful vehicles. Their hands are powerful vehicles for, you know, whatever guides that they may work with or the guides of the plants, you know, to come through as they're shuffling through the deck and choosing their cards. And so it's a really neat, powerful experience that kind of came to me through my own meditations. That's generally how I create my products, as I meditate and then, you know, it comes to me.
Inspiration.
And I trust and I move forward. And then after that process, after they've connected, I have them shuffle through the cards in any way that feels good and natural for them. And then I have them pick 5 different cards from the deck, and those are the cards.
And those are the herbs they need?
Exactly. Those are the herbs that they need. And those are the herbs that want to work with them. So sometimes what comes through are herbs, or I call them herbal allies. So sometimes what comes through are their own herbal allies. And I usually see that there's one specific herbal ally that comes through kind of as like that, you know, it's telling them that this is, it's a thing. It's working. It's real, you know. So if somebody is really connected to Rose, oftentimes Rose will be the first card. You know, I was doing a reading for a woman the other day that oats was her first card. And she was like, I've been drinking oat straw tea. I've been taking oat baths. I've been using oat in my facial cleansers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, because it's your herbal ally. Like, it's just this amazing thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's very interesting.
So generally there's an herb that comes through that people are already working with. And then there are a few others that want to work with them. And so, and, you know, I feel like, you know, it's when you're a vehicle for transmission, you don't necessarily know how everything's supposed to work or work together.
Yeah, you just open your arms and say, okay, that's working. I can see that product and I want that. So you just feel the vibes of intuition.
Well, I blend that tea blend for them. So I take those 5 herbs and then I put them together in a tea blend. So that way, after we get done talking about the herbs, how they work in formula, if I see any specific, you know, pictures or images for those people, I generally share those with them as well. Because sometimes there will be things about those herbs that like come up specific for that person. So I share that with them and how those herbs will work together in formula. And then I blend the tea blend for them to take home and really integrate that reading. And, you know, even as they blend the tea, I say, you know, make sure to flip it over and read the herbs. Just read the names. Sometimes just like reading the names of those
herbs. Yeah, it brings the energy of the herbs, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's been a really special process. And I didn't know how, you know, it's like you start doing something. I'm like, I don't really know how this is going to work out. But it is the thing that I sell the most of at markets generally. I've been able to do it at different herbal fairs. So for people who are herbalists, who have really deep connections to the herbs.
That's interesting.
And that's amazing. It's like, you know, it's profound. And, you know, like generally what comes through are either herbs that they've been working with or that they've been meaning to work with. Or, you know, there's just like...
They have new ideas maybe sometimes that come... So what would be the herbs you would love to talk about, like not all the herbs, but maybe to give the wish to maybe call you, to maybe, you know, have an appointment with you, even through Zoom, even from all over the world, we don't know. But just to, because I really think you are attractive with your power and the herbs, and I definitely wanted to hear you talk about that, but not in that place, but just in a peaceful place. And so can you talk about few herbs and just give us, you know, the feeling, wow, I want to buy that herb? Or you were talking about rose, for example. What does rose bring to people?
Well, that's a perfect herb for this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, rose is all about love and opening up the heart space. Rose is astringent, so it's also really tightening for our skin and for our tissues and the internal parts of our bodies. And so it can, you know, just really gently help to tonify our veins, which, you know, carries the blood through our body that our heart pumps. And so it has that connection throughout our body, which is amazing. And rose is powerful medicine, you know, in a tea or a tincture or even like a facial product. But I feel like rose is really the most powerful just as the plant. You know, I walked up here and saw these roses just behind me.
Yeah.
And the first thing that I had to do was put my whole face inside of the rose and smell, you know, that beautiful scent. And I feel like sitting near a rose plant is just like the most powerful medicine, you know, and I work with roses actually a lot in my spiritual practice, just because they are so wonderful at opening up our hearts, but they create such a beautiful boundary. And so it gives us like that space to be open. It gives us that availability, to have our strong boundaries, which allows us to open up our heart space even more. So I think rose definitely carries that medicine. Another fun thorny plant. I was like, are we gonna go heart centered or thorny since we're on this path, this herbal road, you know? Nettles. I think that's probably, do you have stinging nettle?
I don't know what that is.
Oh,
I will check.
Okay. I'm like, it's a pretty prolific weed. And so that's what it's called here. I mean, a lot of our herbs are weeds. They're plants that people don't necessarily want in their gardens or their farmland. A lot of times like the farmers will be like weeding through the weeds, but the weeds that they're picking are actually more nutritious than the crops that they're growing. And nettles is one of those. It's super nutritious. And so you can, and it's called stinging nettles for a reason. So it's this plant that if you touch it, it has covered in formic acid crystals that when they break off in your skin, it causes a reaction.
Okay. Different.
What is
it? Arti?
When
you touch them. I see what it is. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Urtica is the botanical name. Yeah.
Okay.
The formic acid crystals, exactly. And so, but they're super nutritious. And so when the fresh nettles are happening, as long as you know, wear some gloves, you can grind it up in a food processor, turn it into like a different kind of pesto and eat it with, we call it Nesto.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Eat it with pasta if you'd like. It's an amazingly mineralizing tea, and it really does help to cool inflammation in the body. So it's interesting because it causes inflammation, right? When you touch it. But inside the body, it actually has the power to cool that inflammation. It's a diuretic as well, and so a lot of people use diuretics if they're experiencing, you know, symptoms of high blood pressure and any sort of water retention, edema, things like that is really helpful. Or nettles are helpful for, but they're also mineralizing, so they have a lot of minerals in them that are bioavailable, so that our bodies are able to absorb as opposed to taking mineral supplements. And then they also, it's interesting here, they come up in the springtime. And they're fantastic at calming inflammation in the sinuses and that histamine response in our body. So they're great for allergies as well.
Yeah, I like that idea. And so little by little you learn or you teach, and then people learn how to use some natural herbs and some recipes to just love themselves. Actually, that's the word.
Yeah.
We don't want to use another word.
No, that's actually, it is perfect. It is. It's that, you know, that deep self-care, that deep self-love. Because I think that that's really what, you know, self-love is that like deep care for yourself.
Yeah,
that,
exactly.
You know, that, that it is that deep care and that, the fierce care, I guess. Which is interesting that we were talking about the thorny plants, because I feel like they kind of have that power is like that deep self-care, that like that power, that boundary, but also like beyond the thorns, beyond the thing that like we're a little bit afraid of, you know, you're walking into that fear a little bit.
Yeah, because of the way they behave at the very beginning when you just approach them by by burning you or whatever. Yeah.
But then when you get to know them, you understand that they have this beautiful, powerful medicine to share. So working with the plants, I think, can be really accessible. But I do know that, like, when you're just getting started, it can be a little bit intimidating sometimes. And so I think the best place to start is by finding maybe the plants that grow near you, that maybe grow in your garden.
And learn about them.
Yeah, maybe take a second look at the weeds in your area. Take a second look at the stuff that you don't necessarily want to grow there, but is popping up. An interesting thing that I find is sometimes, like, I'll go over to a client's house to do an intake, and oftentimes one of the herbs that is coming to me as we're talking,
you know, that there's something
in we passed it in their front yard. Oh. And so I feel like a lot of times herbs will grow where they're needed. Yeah. And it's like, that's really, it's just, it gives me chills every time I say it.
Yeah. And you know what, this reminds me, it's really amazing that you just said that, because the more I grow, the more I realize thing and I have my consciousness open, the more I realize that everything which comes in your life is just what you need at that time. Mm-hmm. Either a relationship or a perfume or a color or, as you say, a plant, you know, it's going to be the same. We pick up the color we need to heal by buying a sweater, or someone is just going to appear with a tea or with a gift. And what you just say by crossing your gardens, it's like if the angels make that happen naturally in your garden and you have to just look at it.
100%. Yes. Yeah. But it takes that translation, right? Because a lot of us aren't just going to pick a dandelion out of our yards and make tea with it, even though
it's you good. Can
use it's wonderful tea.
Yeah.
And so I like to tell people to pick one plant and work with that one plant in every way that you possibly can. Get to know that plant intimately, inside and out. Use it on the outside of your body and your inside of your body if it's safe. Read stories about it. Read folklore and Greek mythology about it. There's a lot of, you know, really interesting information when you start doing these deep dives with the plants individually. And when you work with plants like that, one at a time,
You will be open to that.
You will, 100%. And you get to know them. It's better to know how to use 5 plants really intimately than know how to use 500 plants.
Without knowing. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because they work in a different way than the medicines that we've been used to taking. So they work on a deeper level of healing. And really with our own constitutions, with our psyches, with our souls.
Yeah. It makes me think about that word of faith or trust, which is actually, I think, part of the process, if not the whole process, which is to just trust the people you have in front of you, or trust yourself that you are attracted to that thing or to that people. And what you're talking about is just talking about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of what I was talking about of, you know, trusting our intuition earlier.
Yeah, exactly. You're right.
And then validating that, because I think it's important to trust our intuition and validate that it's correct, that you have this deep sense of knowing within your body, you know, that maybe transcends
like being
logic.
Like being an old shaman without knowing it, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think that we've all lived past lives and, you know, I have different affinities for certain things. And I'm like, there's no way that I would really be attracted to that or like that or know
if that. If you had not crossed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true.
Who knows? Maybe I was a really famous herbalist in another life. You never know.
Or maybe some other soul is just here and giving you his power. Teaching you, because of course, according to what you said, you believe in invisible, right?
Of course, I definitely, you know, have a strong spiritual practice. I have guides that I work with and that I work with specifically for herbs. Part of my training too was an energy healing certificate. I mean, but it
was
a beautiful,
interesting. Yeah,
an energy healing class that has helped me tremendously. I think, I mean, through meditation for myself has helped me on not only just like a psychological level, but on a physiological level too, which is incredible because we think about energy healing. We think about, I don't know, I feel like I had my own preconceived notions about it before I started practicing. But understanding that like our bodies are energy, they're made up of energy. And so when you recognize that, you really step into your power of using energy and being able to see the world in a different way. I love that you were talking about the colors and how the vibrations carry different healing energies.
Flowers. 100%. I love flowers. Yes. Yeah. A friend of mine in France, she's a healer through flowers, the back flowers.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
the story of the back flowers. And so it's all this kind of medicine, which are medicine, mm-hmm, different kind of medicine. And one is great to put with another one and another one, and just trusting your intuition that when you do things you love, when, as you said, beauty is a healer. I mean, beauty is a healer. Love is a healer.
Yeah.
So the more you love what you do, you give love to the plants, they're going to be magnificent.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I've been hosting these parties here every month that have to do with astrology. I know that we're not talking about astrology, but they have to do with astrology and plants, because that's, you know, that was, when I look back at our lineage as herbalists, you know, that is a huge part of it, is working with the plants and the planets and our bodies in an alchemical sort of sense. So, and the planets do have a strong pull on us, and they do have a strong pull on the plants, and the plants are representatives of them. Anyways, I'm digressing a little bit.
But it means that we are all one.
Are all one. Yeah. And we're reflections of each other, you know, and you can look at, you know, something and see its reflection in different things. And it's an interesting way of looking at it. It's been a great teacher for me. But one of the practices, we always do some sort of herbalism practice that has to do with the element of that zodiacal season. So we're working with the element of earth. And so I had everybody take a seat. And this is a practice that you can do at home by yourself, just to really intentionally connect a little bit deeper with the plants that you're growing. So this is a practice that you can do to connect with the plants on a deeper level, especially if you're planning on using them medicinally. I mean, medicinally or for beauty too, because we know that beauty is a very powerful healer. But what you do is you take that seed and you place it underneath of your tongue before you plant it.
Oh.
So the idea is that the seed begins to align with your vibration.
So interesting.
And so,
never heard that before.
Yeah, and your saliva is like that seed's like first moisture. And so it's really like, I mean, it's a really powerful practice. And I generally lead people through a meditation with that seed. And so they're connecting with the seed, they're opening up their heart space, enveloping that seed in love, and then watching that seed grow in their mind's eye. So watching that seed grow into a mature plant, and then sharing your intention with it. So even before that seed starts to crack open, you know, you're sharing
the love and the
love and your intention. So if you want to use that plant for beauty, then, like, you know, just tell that plant that you want to use it for beauty. If you want to use it as medicine for something specific, you know, have that specific intention in mind. And the idea is that that plant is going to grow almost, I mean, with different phytonutrients, things that your body specifically needs. So it's like really fine tuning that medicine for you.
Yeah, I'm sure about that, because interconnection.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's the first time I hear that, but to me, it's so... It's so obvious that it has to be true. It has to be true. Because now I don't know that particularly, but I've been listening to some people talking about how trees connect to other plants and how they feed them through what they need. And so it has to be exactly the same with human being, because the animals and the seeds and the vegetables, no. Yeah. Everything is connected.
And the mycelium, because I think that's really what you're talking about. It's like the mycelium network that's underneath.
Yeah, that's it.
That connects everything. It's like that huge, almost like neural network of our earth. Like, amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and like allowing the trees.
And we are just realizing that everything is so connected that... Yeah, before another plane came, we were talking about this interconnection as co-creation, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, and we are co-creators. And I mean, it's just, it's amazing, like, how connected everything is. And the more that we learn, you know, is more that scientists learn.
Yeah.
You know, we, like, put a lot of faith in scientists. But the more that science learns, I feel the more that we understand that there's a lot of stuff that we don't understand. Like, there's a lot of stuff that is happening around us that we can't see
exactly
with our eyes. That's
but it's
real.
Yeah, and it's through vibrations.
Yeah.
We were talking about that. Like, I love this, I forget the name of this man, the Japanese man who did the studies, you know, with the water when
the different crystal formations.
Yeah, it's exactly that. It means that the intention or non-intention, if someone is mean around you, you can feel it. And so nature has to feel it too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And probably more intensely because I feel like their nature in general is maybe like not as stimulated as we humans are all the time. I mean, we're really stimulated all the time, visually, auditory, I mean, even like the taste in our mouth constantly, like we're just like being stimulated and we move a lot. You know, trees don't move as much as we are, you know, very active beings. And so the only way really to feel those vibrations is to intentionally slow down.
Yeah.
And like take time.
Yeah, yeah. I've been working with a lady who, it was really interesting. First, I worked with her with horses and then with the trees. And so we were in the forest and we were feeling the wind, how the wind is talking to you when you listen. How everything is talking to you if you truly listen. So as for human and for nature and for everything, we always need to listen, which is the hardest thing to do, I think.
I think so too. It is, but then once you kind of attune your ears to the sounds, they're easier to hear.
Yeah, it's a training. The more you do, the more you pick up all the details and the sound and vibration.
I mean, I remember the first time I heard the wind speak to me and I was like, oh my goodness. And then ever since then, you know, I can, and it doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But every now and then I'm like, oh, there's like, you know.
There's something to be here.
Yes. Yeah.
I love what we were talking about. It's so interesting. So interesting. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Oh, it is my absolute pleasure. It's just really nice to connect with other people that are speaking the same language, even across
the
ocean. Yeah.
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 No,
it's
true.
Really beautiful and amazing that we're able to find each other, you know, through everything. And
yeah, you see how the universe did that. I like that.
And I could hardly hear what you were saying because it was so loud
in
there. And I was like, I vibrate well with this woman. And I'm like, I just want to say, yes, I'm into it. Like, we'll do it. I'm not 100% sure what we're doing, but let's do it.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
I love what I've been learning with Angelina. And there's one thing I want to do right now is just to take another plane to go back to San Diego and to enroll in one of her workshops. So I hope you enjoy that interaction as I did. If you like this episode of Tribu d'Amour, please just share it because it's the best way to have other people enjoy the interaction with these amazing people and with this amazing Angelina Kesselberg. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.